Okay, I am a behavior analyst for A Plus Solutions, so I do a lot of behavioral consultation with students in a variety of settings, their homes, in their schools, for special projects, and it could be related to skill development, behavioral issues, developmental issues, things like that. In addition to my work with A Plus, my full-time job is also working with adults on the autism spectrum, you know, ranging from 18 all the way up to about 50. Now. Potty training never stops. So it's something that I've got quite a bit of experience working with a large range. So tonight what I wanted to do is talk about some of the tips that I find myself falling back on that are useful, that is supported through, you know, evidence and research, but sometimes just kind of getting back to the basics and thinking about starting over when you've had some challenges has always been helpful, or gives me a fresh set of eyes for looking at things. So I, there's nothing here that's specifically systematic or this is the way to do it and this is the routine. So what I'll do is go through some of these different tips kind of as they would naturally occur from the beginning and throughout. And if you guys have questions or comments, feel free to stick your hand up and we could talk about it. Sometimes I find that makes a good dialogue, or you think about something that maybe somebody else is thinking about, and it's a good conversation topic. So in this group, you guys have some kids that are older. What general ages? Over 4, 3, 4?
9.
9? 10? Okay.
6, 4.
Okay. Okay. Okay, good. No, that's helpful. So probably a lot of these things, you know, you've thought of when should you start thinking about it. Always first check in with your pediatrician or your primary care physician to see if there's anything that's contraindicated. If there's a medical rollout, make sure there's not something else going on, maybe like, being impacted, or, you know, dietary problems, UTIs, things like that. So always before I take a look at any kind of trends in behavior, I always first check with the doctor to make sure that I'm not going to prescribe some kind of intervention plan that maybe is, you know, going to cause a problem if we have a medical issue. So I start there. It's always helpful, too, if the child has, like, an interest or shows some kind of curiosity about the bathroom, if, you know, if that's the sink and the stool that they like to wash their hands in, if they want to flush the toilet, those kinds of things, that's a good cue that maybe you're ready to do a little more in there, or even they're following you in there, and, that shows some curiosity. If they're able to help assist with changing their clothing, clothes on, you know, clothes off, things like that, if you have kids that recognize the need to change out of wet clothes or out of a diaper, or know where where they're kept and where the wipes are, and if they've got that level of understanding, that's a good time to think about starting to implement a plan. When the bathroom words and terminology is something that they understand, also a good sign that you could start. And then also when there's periods of time where they're, you see that they can hold it, or that there's longer periods of dryness. So those are just some of the, okay, I think we're getting ready. Those are the things that I look for before I write a plan. One of the things, when you're considering what the potty training routine is going to look like, I always like to take some, the behavior analyst in me, I like to take data. So I'll create like a chart and, watch it for maybe a few days or a week and see what times of the day are more, are more frequent times for using the bathroom. What does consumption look like? What are eating habits like? What is, when do we cut off fluids at night? Things like that. And then when you're thinking about the plan, like I always think about their communication skills. Do they have verbal language? Do they use picture language? How do they get your attention for more preferred things? And I try to consider that as I'm thinking about what I'm going to embed into the plan and how I'm going to motivate them and communicate with them. Any types of sensory needs that you can think of. I think I have a slide in here where I've got my dream bathroom. But, you want the bathroom to not be an aversive place. You want it to be calming. So if there's issues with lights or noise, or if they, any tactile things, right down to, the type of soap that they're using, those are all considerations to embed. I like to have an idea of what their personal care skills are. Are they able to participate in washing their hands or some of their ADLs? And then also a link on here, but there's also different checklists and milestones that you can reference. The Milestones website, you guys might have seen it. They had a nice it's in a later slide. They had kind of a nice layout of like what all the skills are for, you know, using the bathroom, starting with like entering the bathroom and ending with leaving the bathroom. So it was a nice breakdown. I'm like, that would be great in a visual schedule, you know, for somebody. So kind of getting a feel for where your child is in terms of what that, you know, what that order is. I just threw up here what like a sample toileting pattern tracking sheet could be. So basically just, you know, your date, your time, were they dry, were they wet, were they soiled, did they use the bathroom, what was the food and drink, you know, consumed. This is also helpful, too, in, like, identifying anything that might be an intolerance, you know, something that's an intolerance or something that maybe goes right through them. So this is kind of the data that I'm looking at, too, to get an idea of what times of day they're using the restroom. Once you kind of have an understanding of, like, where your present levels are and you're thinking about how your child communicates, you know, the next thing to do that I would think about is scheduling the bathroom. It's we're all creatures of habit. Like, I follow a schedule that's, you know, pumps right into my phone, and it tells me everything from, like, what I need to wear for what meeting, where I need to be. So I fall back a lot on predictability and routines, and I think, you know, we all do, too. Maybe even if we don't realize it. Same with the kids. So if you have predictable times of day, even if you're just going into the bathroom and maybe not necessarily using it, but going through some of the motions, like as soon as you wake up, or maybe both before you leave the house and when you get back from the house, or before dinner and after dinner, before sleep and after sleep, those kinds of things, if you just start embedding the routine, now you've at least brought the bathroom into part of the child's day. It's also good to use different bathrooms so you don't just get somebody used to one space or the other. Even it's gross. I have moms that are like, not the public bathroom. But it's not a bad idea to take them in there like, oh, before we leave, let's go stop and see if you have to use a bathroom, or let's wash our hands. Because you don't want the avoidance of certain places to become like an avoidance that the child then has. And it's like, no, I never use that. I'm not comfortable with that. So it's, you know, just getting them used to the bathroom. I do, you guys probably do too, like a lot of first then stuff to establish motivation. It's like, I want to go outside and play, or I want to go have screen time. Like, okay, first use the bathroom, or let's go in there and wash your hands. Wherever they are on like the steps for using the bathroom, I would just build that into the routine so they understand it's like, it's something I have to do before I get to do the fun thing that I want. And that way, they're doing it, it's quick, it's painless, you kind of built in a natural reinforcer. They're getting to their iPad, or they're getting outside with their friends. So it's a good way to get that like first them motivation going. In some of the different literature you'll read, there's, you know, different routines that people have. I came across something too that's like, sit for six, so sit on the toilet six times a day for at least 5 seconds per sit. So as you're thinking about the routines that you're embedding into your schedule, your child's schedule, you could have some kind of rules for what you're doing in there. Like, we're going in there to wash our hands. We're going to go sit on the toilet. We're going to go flush the toilet, you know, whatever it is, so they understand like what they're going to be doing when they're in there. Timers are also sometimes helpful cues for transitions. You said not the same sound that you use for your kids. Like, that's I use a timer a lot to signal like a change in activity across a variety of different settings. It's like you know, we're done with the thing that you didn't want to do. We're done with the chores. Now you get the thing you want. Now we're done with the iPad, and we're going to move on to something else. It's a nice way to like put timers in at any time you're doing a transition, so it just starts to naturally signal like, oh, okay, this is done, and move on. And then I would use consistent but simple language for any kind of bathroom-related topics or activities. And it's a good thing, too, to if you have, like, caregivers in the home, or your, you know, teachers are working on something similar in school, or you have family that helps you, it's good to make sure that everybody's using the same, you know, the same language. I've worked with kids whose parents have said strange things, you know what I mean, for using the bathroom. And when I was working with them, I'm like, what do you use, you know, because I wasn't using the same thing, and wasn't even something that I thought about. So you want to make sure your language is consistent and simple. For yourselves, in terms of what your communication looks like when you're working with kids, it's easy to become, I think, frustrated or focused on having a success and It's just always important to keep an, you know, I'm sure you guys are aware, but like you want to be supportive. You want to keep a watch on your tone. You want to be calm and just matter of fact. If there's an accident, it's like, okay, that just, that goes in the toilet. Let's get it in there. You know what I mean? You just don't want to have any kind of overreaction. I also find that a lot of kids, despite whether you're like upset with them or praising them, it's still like a elevated social interaction, and sometimes that in itself like creates a whole new interaction for them, and it can inadvertently reinforce behavior that maybe you don't want to see. So I always try to just keep it calm in the bathroom until you have the success you want, then throw a party. That way you're putting reinforcement with like the behavior that you'd like to see. And I always try to say, spend a lot of time talking about what you do want the kids to do versus what you don't want to see. You don't want to talk about the accident or pay too much attention to it. It's really easy to just simply, even if there's like a BM in the diaper, like I've just taken it and like, okay, this goes in the toilet and drop it in there. I'm like, you flush. Great. All right, let's wash your hands and, and move on. Just really flat like that. And then, again, just make sure that everybody that's working with your child or helping you out does the same thing that you're doing. You just want to make sure you have the consistency, which is why it's helpful to keep it simple. When we talk about the routines, as you're starting to like create the schedule for when you want to have your bathroom times, it'd be important to like look at diet. Is there times of day where maybe it'd be more beneficial to increase fluids because you want them to be able to produce or, add more fiber to their diet so that they can help feel the urge to use the bathroom. So those are trends to look at as you're looking at when your, times for using the bathroom start to unfold with what your schedule's going to look like. It's always helpful, I think, sometimes for kids who are older. I think it's aversive to have to do dressing and buttons and fasteners, like so easy to remove clothes. That way that's not like another step that they have to do that's hard for them. We really want like the hard thing that they're working on to be using the bathroom, not like worrying about their clothes. So if they could wear something simple, and then if it is something that is hard for your child, I would choose that moment, like if you're potty training, to even if you're working on them pulling up their pants, I would save that for in the morning when they're getting dressed. And when you're in the bathroom, like make it easy for them so all they have to be focused on is having, success in the bathroom. I gave the example, like you could take waste from the diapers and put it into the toilet. I would, look at the sensory needs in the bathroom. I would also pair the bathroom with things that they like. So if you have a kid who likes to read or likes to listen to music, like, same as you see in other bathrooms, like here's the little book rack or the magazine rack or here's some things to do while you're in there so you're not necessarily leaving the fun things in your room or in your house or in your backyard. It's still not a terrible thing to be in the bathroom for a couple minutes, giving that a try. I've done like, well, you can have screen time in the bathroom and you can have screen time before bed when you've completed all these things. So that way it's like at least it's reinforcing the room and then it's not so bad for them to go in there. It keeps spare clothes like easily accessible. So if you've got the magazine rack, maybe you've got a couple pairs of shorts or something tucked in there. We talked about the multiple bathrooms, like, using multiple bathrooms in the house, which I know isn't ideal for like cleaning up if you have accidents, but again, it helps them kind of generalize and become comfortable going into bathrooms in your home, in the community, just so that they feel like this isn't a hard thing that you're asking them to do. So at the beginning, we want it to be easy. And we talked a little bit about some of the first then stuff. So once you've got that interest in the bathroom, like I have a nephew who is obsessed with washing his hands with the Bath & Body Works foam soap in the one bathroom, and it's this high, and he's got like this tiny potty. I'm like, well, if you want to go in there, we're going to have to go on this, So there's different ways that you can kind of get that motivation going. Like if you want to use this or you want to flush the toilet, here's the thing I need you to do. And it doesn't necessarily have to be go to the bathroom in the toilet. Like, if you're at the first couple of steps, it could be once you sit on the toilet, then we'll use the fun soap, and that, you know, just to kind of start slowly introducing some of those demands to them. For the guys who do better with visual supports, I even use this for kids who are talker, who do talk, because it's just helpful. Like, I feel like a lot of schools now use schedules. Kids are used to checking off what they've done. It's a good tool. And if you're focusing on specific steps, you could be like, you do this one, I'll help you with this one. But it's good for them to kind of have the, you know, what the expectation is for them. There's also, you know, if you have kids that fall, you know, there's also instructional clips of, like, using the bathroom that you could find on the internet. There's social stories about using the bathroom. Sometimes those are good things just to embed into, like, other parts of their day. Like, oh, let's read your social story really quick, which is maybe just a short couple page, like, so-and-so is going to use the bathroom. And when he's, you know, and you just kind of walk through some of the steps. And when he's done, he has this really fun thing to do. Just to kind of get them looking at it, not just how they're experiencing it, but also reading about somebody else using the bathroom and having success. This is a good time to use, like, instructional TV shows or video clips. Kids are so motivated by media. So if they watch a little clip about somebody using the bathroom, like, now we can try it. And then I've also, I've used, like, their toys and their dolls. Like, when I've worked with kids and they just can't seem to get, like, one element or the other, like, I'm not beneath holding up their favorite toy and, like, dropping chocolate chips behind it. And they're like, oh, okay, you know. So there's different ways that you can, you know, model what it is you want them to see. And then that's exciting. That's in the toilet. Great. Let's clean up. Let's flush and move on. So there's different ways that you can help them, you know, visually to have an idea of what their expectation is. This slide kind of has all of the steps and the milestones that I was referencing a slide or two back that occur. And, you know, for some individuals, it makes sense that they need it broken down, you know, this descript with these small steps. For others, maybe they don't need so much detail. It just kind of depends on where your child is. You know, even if it's like, you know, you just break it down into a couple of different things, like entering the bathroom, leaving the bathroom, you know what I mean, that kind of stuff. So that would be something that you could individualize, or if you wanted to pull out, like, either a written, you know, schedule for what it's going to look like in there with just, like, you know, check boxes, or wanted to make a visual, these would be the steps I'd look at. And, you know, if you've got someone who can flush but they're not, like, sitting on the toilet, you know what I mean, I would, obviously, I'd back it up and make the flushing contingent on sitting on the toilet. So I threw that in there. I thought it'd be helpful for you guys to think about at home. Thinking about all of those steps, it's important to reinforce every aspect that these kids are going through. So social reinforcement, if they need, like, tangible reinforcement, whatever they're responsive to, I would use. And you can change the behavior that you want to see for being reinforced. So if you have someone, you know, who goes in the bathroom and pulls down their pants, but they're not sitting on the toilet, that might be the behavior that you want to target increasing. So I'd start reinforcing that. And once they get that for a couple days in a row, okay, great. You're doing a good job sitting on the toilet. Now we're going to work on go to the bathroom. And I would stop reinforcing the sitting on the toilet and be a little bit more flat and be like, go ahead and go. And try to deliver the reinforcement more contingent on going to the bathroom. If it's not something they're able to achieve, it's fine to say, okay, you did a good job. We're still going to go wash your hands. But try to hold out that reinforcement for when they actually use the bathroom. And you could just keep changing it as they move through all of those milestones. I've also done the thing where you've had, like, maybe the small, you know, potty that, you know, toddlers will use, and then, like, the big high toilet becomes aversive. So I've just literally moved it closer, you know, closer to the bathroom. You could put the lid, like, on the actual, you know, and you could just kind of shape it closer to the toilet, and it's like, oh, you're ready. Look, it looks the same. We'll put you on the toilet. So, there's different tricks that you can do. See, I already talked about reinforcing on the last slide. One of the other things, if you're really struggling and some of these things that we just discussed isn't working, I would choose like a really valuable reinforcer that you're willing to part with for the rest of your day and save it just for reinforcing bathroom specific behaviors. So if it is screen time or if it's a special treat or it's something that they love and you know they love it, I would only use that reinforcer for the bathroom behavior, just to try to shift their focus, shift their motivation. And that way it's not like, well, I know I can have my iPad before I go to bed, or I can, you know, I'm going to get that dessert tonight. I would shift it. And then hopefully you see a shift in motivation with, you know, the continued supports and encouragement. And it's important to celebrate any small successes that they have. Every time that they're in the bathroom, it's good to feel like they're being successful, even when they're having accidents. You don't want to inadvertently make them feel bad or like something's very hard and very overwhelming. We want them to feel good about every time they're in there. Excuse me. We talked a little bit about the bathroom environment. There's my spa bathroom. But I think it's fine if you have like the books and the toys, or maybe you do the screen time in there. Maybe you have, you know, sensory music, or if they're a kid that likes to hold things or any kind of tactile stuff, I'd have it in there so they have something to do that's calming for them, a stool for their feet so they're not just dangling. Get the wipes, because the toilet paper can be a tricky thing for them to negotiate. It doesn't always, you know what I mean? That's hard when you're a kid, and if it doesn't rip just right, you want to make sure you have enough. So wipes, and then even the types of soap that they're interested in. If they like a smell for the soap, or a foaming soap, or they prefer the bar soap, or it's their favorite character and you found it some, you know what I mean? Like, I would put all kinds of motivating things in the bathroom so they like it in there. There's a lot of like research out there, like what's the cutoff with diapers, what's the cutoff with pull-ups, and like how do you fade those away. I read some interesting things, a lot of the sources, I think it's fine unless you're at the place where you're targeting your overnights. I would leave the diapers on overnight and focus on your daytime routines first, and I think you could do some more systematic manipulations to your fluid intake and things like that at the end of the night to kind of help you with the overnight. But if you want to fade the diaper, there's a couple things you could do. Some people will just, you know, plain cold turkey, take the diaper away. Just be prepared. There's going to be accidents. They're going to feel that they're wet. And it's okay. You would just pair like, okay, you feel that? Oh, that's wet. So we've got to change our clothes. Next time we'll go to the toilet. And that's one way. Sometimes the kids like the feel of the diaper. It produces some kind of sensory sensation. It's more secure. It's tighter than underwear would be. So what you could do is you could put the diaper over their underwear, so when they do have an accident, they still feel the wetness, and they could start to pair that. You could, oh, okay, we're wet. Let's check. Yep, that's wet, so we need to go to the bathroom, sit on the toilet. Even if they don't go to the bathroom, sit on the toilet, and let's wash your hands and get changed and cleaned up. You could, and with that plan, if it's like they like the snugness of the diaper, you could just start loosening it, you know, like don't put it over or get a bigger diaper. So they start to like gradually fade away with like what that that feeling feels like. I've even seen where, like, you know, one of the websites I was reading was like tearing away parts of the diaper. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I like that. Like, let's just slowly loosen it and fade it away. And then anytime that they are in underwear, like, I would really reinforce it. Like, oh, I see you've got your underwear on. Like, that's great. Like, oh, you know, if it's your big girl pants, your big boy pants, you know what I mean? Things like that. I pay a lot of attention on, those are dry. You're doing so good. You want them to feel proud and, like, want to be wearing those more often. And I would put a lot less social attention on, like, wearing the diaper. It could be as simple as, like, okay, go ahead and get your diaper, but I wouldn't pay too much attention talking about it. And a lot more attention, like, oh, it's underwear this morning, great, good choice. Just so they start to feel like, oh, Mom and Dad are way more excited when I'm wearing these, you know. Whether or not they connect the dots, like, they'll, at least there's going to be that shift in what the reinforcement looks like. You know, when you are thinking about, like, the toilet training overnight, like I said, like, I would look at what you can control and help them to be successful. So if it is, like, no, depending on when bedtime is, like, no fluids after 7. So You could just build that into your routine. At 6 o'clock, we know we're not going to have anything to drink at 7, so why don't you get a drink and get your snack, and however that looks, just build it into their routine. And that's also, assuming that you have a consistent bedtime routine. For somebody who's older, it might be like, okay, it's Friday night, we're going to a soccer game or we're going to a basketball game. We know it's going to be a late bedtime, so tonight you can have something to drink until 8. Just as long as you're communicating that with them. And all of this stuff would be interchangeable between, like, verbals and visuals, depending on what works best for your child, And I would, kind of like the before and after bed. So before they're going to, bed, it's probably already a part of their routine, but go ahead and I'd have them sit and try to go to the bathroom. And then also, again, as soon as they wake up in the morning, every time the child wakes up at night, if they're waking you up and you're going to be up anyways, I'd be like, oh, you're up, let's go to the bathroom. Every time you get up, we go to the bathroom. And start getting them used to at least trying. There's other things that people have done. There's different, like, supplements people take overnight, like I think it's DDAP that, like, helps you hold your bladder, but I think there's other antecedent controls that you could try first before, looking at a medical solution. For some kids, like, we've done social stories, like, they're afraid to get up in the middle of the night and leave their bedroom. So it's like something we review with them before they go to bed. Like, if you have to go to the bathroom, you can go knock on your parents' door, or you could just go into the bathroom. Or sometimes they just kind of need the map of, like, what happens when I'm up? Like, yes, you can leave your bedroom and you could go to the bathroom, or you can go to your parents' room, so that they have an idea of, like, what they're allowed to do. So just giving them that information and just rotely practicing it, every night, so it's consistent and part of their routine. There's a link on here, and there might be a handout that you guys get. There is something called habit training. There's a typo there. It's just a very rigid routine and scheduled program with the goal to start to teach the individual the need to go to the bathroom. So this is a really detailed, visually supported schedule. Not so different than what we talked about, but it's a lot more intense. It's really rigid. And this is something that sometimes, like, older adults will use, like, when everything else hasn't worked, like all of these other different strategies. So I attached the information that you guys can go look at the various steps. A lot of what we discussed is in here, but it just kind of gives you step by step, like, how it actually looks. And, everybody's different. So every child responds differently to different things. So it's important to, like, you guys know your kids. I would individualize things. If they do better with first-end schedules, if they do better with, some kind of video model, like, you can tailor a lot of this. For the thing that I always just try to, like, really when I'm working with, like, families or staff is, like, control what you can. You can control times of day, you can control routines, you can control food and water. Like, if you could control some of those things on the front end and get ahead of it, the kids are going to have more likelihood of being able to be successful, paired with that routine. We talked about the accidents, I wouldn't overreact, I wouldn't get upset. They're probably upset. Going to make sure they don't feel embarrassed. I would do it really flatly, just like, oh, yep, that's wet. Okay, you check it, I'll check it. Yep, seems like we need to go to the bathroom, and just go through the motions in there. Even if they don't go to the bathroom, at least they start to pair, like, when this happens. And then if they can start to catch, like, the feeling before it happens, then we could get them to go in there. And just even though they had an accident, it's really important that you still reinforce them for going through the motions, so they don't feel like they're, it's not a punishment. You're not upset with them. They're still like, great job. I'm glad you sat on the toilet. Thank you for helping me clean. You go grab those pants. I'll go grab the shirt, so that they feel good about it. They're participating in the cleanup, and they're managing themselves a little bit more independently. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That was quick. Nobody asked any questions as we were rolling. Do you guys have situations maybe that you'd like to run by me, or things that you tried, you're like, it doesn't work?
One mom asked about public restrooms and her child's fear of self-flushing toilets.
Oh, that's hard for everybody. Yeah. Because it's different and it's not like what your home looks like, I would say every time you're out, I would still go to a public restroom. But if you can, like without them, I would video the toilet self-flushing on your phone and show him, like, this toilet's different than home. This is what it's going to do, or you know what I mean? So he has something to look at. Like, we're going to do it just like home, to kind of, so at least he sees it. And, like, you're standing there and you're like, it flushes by itself. It flushes when I push the button. We'll try it next time we're out at this McDonald's or, you know, wherever, or at the mall. It might be something to help prepare him on the front. Yeah, you're on the right track. You'd want to just sensitize him to it. And I would. I mean, I would even video, like, not people, like, going to the bathroom. I'm like, if you see, like, I'm walking in, I'm okay, it's crowded, there's other people here, it's for public, you know, just so he can kind of see what to expect. Like, it's not just going to be me and mom or me and dad or, you know what I mean, but, like, just so he has an idea of, like, this is what it looks like in the mall, and it might be different at, you know, McDonald's or the library, but just so he can get a feel so it's not so... Like, I know there's the men's sign, I know there's going to be sinks, but, like, just so he can see it before he goes, maybe it would prepare him a little bit more, and I would just practice it, like, in the car, like, as we're going, like, let's watch the video, like, in case we have to go to the bathroom, this is what it's going to look like.
Another mom comments that her child has the exact opposite problem. So when they're out in public, her daughter loves to use the toilet, but when they're at home, she suddenly is unable to hold it, or she's unable or unwilling to use the potty.
Yeah, so, and sometimes it's like I'm totally interested in what I'm doing, and I don't think about getting up. And then sometimes, too, there's more help from your family, you know what I mean, to get you kind of cleaned up and put back together than there would be in public or at school or out to dinner. So sometimes there's that, like, inherent, like, I know my family's going to take care of me, you know. So in those instances, I would schedule it. Like, I would pair it maybe with a timer, you know what I mean? But, like, even if you don't have to go, let's just run in there and see, just to get it, to break it up a little bit. And if you have an idea, like, even if you tracked it for, like, a day of, like, yeah, because then you would know, like, when her times of day, if it follows a meal or if she's drinking a lot, like, yeah, if you just gave her a snack and she's going to play, I'd try it in, like, a half hour. You know what I mean? Like, but I would, yeah, I would start, and I would reinforce her for, be like, oh, you know. But yeah, just to get her used to going, and then you could fade the timer, you know, in time, but just to get her to think, like, oh, I bet, you know.
Another parent asks how to support potty training when their child is nonverbal and isn't able to express when they have to go.
One of the things that you could do too, like, I would schedule it. Like, I'd have very specific times of the day that, like, he knows, like, on the schedule that you're going to go to the bathroom. They make these, they're pretty inexpensive. I wonder if I order from Special Learning. It's like a little, I put them outside all of the bathroom doors at one of the places that I work. You can put, like, a picture icon on it, and you could record, like, I have to use the bathroom, and it's, I feel like they're pretty inexpensive. And it's, we just, like, have it Velcroed, like, up next to the bathroom door. So every time, like, when you're taking him to the bathroom, it's that time of the schedule or that time of the routine. Every time you walk in there, I would just be like, oh, we're going to the bathroom, and, like, have him also push it so there's a voice output, so that he starts to pair, like, every time I go into the bathroom, I'm indicating I'm going to the bathroom. So then hopefully in time he could start to generalize, like, he might just get up and hit the button, and then you would know. You know what I mean? It might be a start to pair it. But I would pair it with some kind of communicational exchange. Does he ask for, like, preferred items from you guys, or how does he typically communicate? Does he guide you to something? Yeah, or if he has, like, iPad software, or, like, Proloquo or something, I would just always have him doing something that indicates he's going there as he's going in.
The next parent comments about how stubborn her child has been when trying to get him to use the potty. When given the choice between using a pull-up or underwear, the child always chooses the pull-up, and no matter what kind of reinforcer they try to use, nothing is able to motivate him to use the potty.
Because what you could do is you could withhold the reinforcement and only give it once he goes to the bathroom. So, like, pick something that's more valuable than anything else, like if it's the screen time or whatever he's wanting to escape back to, and be like, this is yours for the rest of the night if you pee in the toilet. You know what I mean? Like, if you go to the bathroom in the toilet. So that way, like, he's not holding it while he's on the toilet and then also holding his urine. But you know what I mean? It's like, as soon as you go, this is yours. I've got it. It's in my hand. I'm ready to give it to you. You just have to go to the bathroom. I mean, I would play around a little bit with this, too. Like, I would pick a time where you just gave him, like, a juice box or, you know what I mean, like a Gatorade, and you know he's going to have to go. Like, that's the better time because, you know what I mean, that way, like, at least he'll have to go. And then maybe you're like, okay, here's the reinforcer. As soon as you go, even a drop, it's yours. I would use that. I would make sure that you know he has to go to the bathroom when you're going to do that intervention. If he still, another thing you could do is if he still wants to wear the pull-up, I would make him put the underwear on and the pull-up. You know what I mean? And that way he still has to go through the motions of, like, I felt wet and, oh, it is wet. So now we have to take a break and we have to go change. And we, you know what I mean? We're going to have to go in the bathroom anyway. So it'd be quicker if I just used the bathroom. Okay. But yeah, I would control what you can, like, on the front end and make sure you know he has to pee when you're taking him in there. You know, that way your odds of getting him to be more successful.
Another parent asks how to help his child become night potty trained. He's able to use the potty during the day, but no matter what, at night he insists on wearing a pull-up and, without fail, has an accident in his pull-up.
You said he's anxious. Would something, I don't want to spark his anxiety, but what if there is, like, there's four pull-ups left in the drawer, and then tomorrow there's three, and then there's two, and then there's one. It's like, yeah, with someone with anxiety, like, I'm always, you know, it just depends on what it looks like. It's like, are we preparing them? Are we sensitizing to them? Or is this more a cold turkey situation and they have to see that they survive, you know? But I just wonder if it's like, oh, and we're out. Let's try underwear tonight. So then the other thing you could do is, like, you know, on the, like, the drawers just got underwear. Yeah. And say, oh, looks like we're out of pull-up, so it's going to be underwear tonight. Let's see how you do. Do you want me to wake you up at 2 to see if you have to go to the bathroom? Do you want to go now? Maybe we, you know, as he's changing, maybe we won't have anything to drink, like, after 7 tonight. Like, just be, since we're out of the pull-ups, like, I want you to be prepared and see if that would maybe be something.
One final question. A parent asked, is there such a thing as starting training too early?
It depends. If, I would say it's fine to, like, establish, like, routines of walking into the bathrooms, getting, like, that exposure, because what that'll do is help, it'll help, like, build, you know, the repertoire of, like, knowledge about, like, that's the toilet, that's the flush, and maybe get some curiosity going. But I wouldn't force anybody to start potty training until you've got your medical rule out, they have interest in the bathroom, you know, depending on the age. If it's something where, you know, it's been a while and you think that this is something we really want to work towards and make it routine, I would just start with, like, those beginner steps. Like, let's go in the bathroom. This is the bathroom. Okay, we've got that master. Now let's go in. Let's pull our pants down and sit. Okay, got that master. You know what I mean? Like, I would just create the routines before and after bedtime, before and after your meals, before and after you leave the house, those kinds of things, just so it's just part of their day. So when they actually do go to the bathroom, it's like, oh, great. You were here. Perfect timing.